Luke chapter 2, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So this journey from the northern area, Galilee, down to Bethlehem was quite a taxing journey for a woman who is about to give birth. And then when they get there, what do we need to know about this piece of ground, this place? As we're going to talk about the shepherds, but there's so much about this piece of ground. In fact, I can only think of one other place that is so referenced in the Bible, and that would be the Temple Mount. You look at the Temple Mount, you have Abraham going there to sacrifice Isaac, his son. Of course, God provides a sacrifice, and so Isaac lives. We have David buying Ornan's threshing floor there at that Mount Moriah, that Temple Mount, the same place. Now, right now, before Solomon, there was nothing there except people just kept going there to make sacrifices. And then, eventually, God leads Solomon to build the temple there where Christ would be crucified. And so it was a very predetermined, let's say, it's a predetermined place where all that stuff would occur. And we have the same thing when it comes to the birth of Christ. So not just the death of Christ, but the birth of Christ was predetermined. We talk about Ruth and Boaz, and we know that Boaz owned that land there, right, in Bethlehem. That Ruth went there with Naomi, and she married Boaz. And, of course, from Ruth and Boaz comes whom? Jesse and David. King David, King Solomon. On that piece of ground in Bethlehem, that same piece of ground, where the Bible says, where Jacob's wife Rachel was buried, it's a very significant piece of ground for God. And the Bible tells us that out of this little place, Bethlehem, would rise the king. Out of this place would come the Messiah, the Lamb of God. But not just this town called Bethlehem, but more specifically, the Tower of the Flock. When Rachel was buried, the Bible says, and Jacob went beyond the Tower of the Flock. Well, this is that place, the Tower of Migdol. And that's where Jesus was born. Now, I've been to three different sites in Bethlehem, and all three sites say this is where he was born, right here. In fact, one of them's got a star on the ground that says right there. That's where he came out. That's where he was born. Now, it was in Bethlehem. I know that because the Bible says so. But I couldn't take you to a piece of ground and X marks a spot and say that's exactly where he was born. By the way, does it matter? But that's, that's tourism for you. But Jesus was born at a place called the Tower of Migdol, the Tower of the Flocks, Bethlehem. And what's so significant about this Tower of the Flocks? Well, because that's the place where the sacrificial lambs, where the lambs were raised and prepared for sacrifice in the temple. When the shepherds were told to go look for the Messiah, that he would be the Savior of the world, where did they go? They knew where to go. They didn't look for a star in the sky. That was the Magi 2 years later. They didn't have to look for a star in the sky. We could say the Magi, the wise men, whatever you want to call them. But here, the shepherds knew where to go because they knew what the Bible said, the Tower of the Flocks. We go back to verse 7, and it says, he wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes or cloths or bands of cloth were significant because now we look at a baby being born, and especially in that culture and especially in that time, they would take a baby and they would put oil and salt on them for their skin and then wrap them in the clothes and wrap them up tight. You know, what we always call make a baby burrito. How many of you ever made a baby burrito? By the way, the Atkins have a new grandbaby. Congratulations. And so do the grooms, the new grandbaby this week. And wrap them up in a little baby burrito. And we're in Luke chapter 2, buddy. Luke chapter 2. So not only do we wrap children that way, but these sacrificial lambs that would be used in the temple where this Tower of Migdol is going north toward Jerusalem, it's on the way out of Bethlehem, those lambs had to be what? Had to be without blemish, without spot. They had to be perfect. So when a lamb was born at the Tower of Migdol, Tower of Flocks, what would they do? They would wrap that lamb in swaddling. So it's significant. The place where he was born is significant. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, what was a manger? A manger is a feeding trough. And when you think of a feeding trough, how many of you have ever been around a feeding trough? How many of you want to put your baby in that? But the feeding trough for the lambs that would be sacrificed in the temple were clean. They weren't messy. They weren't dirty. I know the humblest beginnings, we think of how humble it was, and it was humble, no doubt. And it may have been a cave there at the Tower of Migdol. He was born there somewhere. But he wasn't put in a dirty feeding trough. It was clean. And what was significant about the Tower of Migdol? Well, we've talked about all the sheep, the sheep, the sheep, the sheep. So who's directly related to that business? The shepherds. These lambs that were there for the sacrifice were kept isolated, where the shepherds may take theirs out into the field. You have to travel with sheep because they just keep eating. How many of y'all eat every day? What happens when you run out of food? You go find some more, right? And so the shepherds would have to lead the sheep to greener pastures. Would have to lead them to a place where they could eat. And you know, according to Psalm 23, and we read that, and that's the shepherd's psalm, there had to be preparation into those fields. You didn't just take them out here and say, well, there's some grass, let's let them go. No, because there might be poison and weeds. There might be snakes. There might be wolves. There might be lions. You know, all of that stuff was in that region in this time. And so the shepherds would have to prepare, and they would lead their sheep around all over the countryside. Verse 8, there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Well, I would be too. And you would be too. The dark of night. We think of how the night is now, and there's always, just about anywhere you go around here, there's a glow in the horizon somewhere. You can look and say, well, that's the city over there. Well, they didn't have all that back then. So at night, it was dark, dark. And all of a sudden, there was this blinding, shining, bright light. And the angel, verse 10, said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So they knew it would be in Bethlehem, as defined. But they knew that it wasn't just a baby. They knew it was the Christ. They knew it was the Savior. This shall be a sign to you, verse 12, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why was that significant? You see, the swaddling that they used for this baby was different than the swaddling that was used for other babies. Because this baby wasn't born at home with a midwife. This baby was born in a barn. Next time somebody asks you, were you born in a barn? You can say, my Savior was. He was born with a sheep. He was managed. He was nursed, cared for in those initial hours with what they had available, which was for agricultural purpose. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Again, agricultural. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I just imagine what heaven was like. Can't you just imagine what it was like as they look down and they're paying attention and watching what's going on? And there's Jesus, the Savior, being carried by Mary in pregnancy. They arrive at Bethlehem and everybody knows what's coming. And then you can imagine the anticipation. Have you ever been into a hospital OB in a waiting room when the babies are being born? Such anticipation. And then all of heaven, I imagine just gazing on that tower, on that cave, or that manger scene where Mary is giving birth to the Savior, to the Son of God. Can you imagine the moment He's born with all of heaven as an audience? And I don't think they waited too long to come to those shepherds. I think it was they were so excited, they were ready to get the word out. They were ready to spread the news. They wanted everybody to know that Jesus was born. How about that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, right? They wanted to tell somebody about Jesus. They wanted to tell somebody about the plan. They wanted everybody to know that it was actually coming to pass. Guys, you understand, this plan was launched before the foundation of the world. This was an event they'd been planning and looking forward to, and they knew it was coming. And now it's finally here. And the sound of Jesus as a baby. The angels in heaven, the heavenly host, they know Him as the Son of God. They know Him as that one who created all things. And now He's a baby. He's taken on another form. Why? For us. For us. And it came to pass in verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Let's go. Let's go look at it. Let's go watch. Let's go see. Immediately. And they came with haste, verse 16. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Don't you imagine that when they were going to go, that they were expecting a crowd? I mean, this is a magnificent thing. I would expect if somebody says, hey, the Savior has been born, this is something that's been prophesied. They know exactly where it's supposed to be by all of the details. And I would imagine that all the prophets would be there. All the priests would be there. Every religious leader would show up and want to see and want to worship the Savior, the Christ. Was anybody there when they got there? Not that we know. As far as we know, the shepherds were the only ones to respond to this baby's birth. And I know in this season you're going to have people who will criticize you for having a Christmas tree. And they'll tell you, well, that's a pagan symbol and all that. Is that what you use it for? And they'll criticize you for having a wreath and criticize you for talking about Santa Claus. Guys, we could relax. We can relax. You say, well, Christmas is a pagan holiday. That's not what we do. We celebrate the Savior. So just relax and celebrate the Savior and enjoy the holiday season. And somebody says, happy holidays. Well, holiday means holy day. Just say happy holidays. It's fine. By the way, it's Hanukkah. I mean, Somebody says Happy Hanukkah to you, say Happy Hanukkah back. It's that easy, not hard. Christians ought to be the happiest people this time of year. We ought to be able to identify who the Christians are by our composure and by our words, by the way. The Bible says that, verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. Why is that? Because the shepherds were traveling. Remember, they have to keep those sheep moving. And they would, when they were out in the field, they would go into these villages and go into these towns. They took the news. Look, they didn't have cable news and online. They didn't have a cell phone where they could update everything around the world all the time. They counted on word of mouth testimony of what was going on around the country. And these shepherds were reliable in their word. You talk about the weather. How's the weather? See, on that side of the mountain, it's different than this side of the mountain. North is different than it is in the south. So these guys were traveling. They were very well traveled, very well spoken. They probably spoke many different dialects, maybe all the same language, but different dialects. They could speak Yankee and they could speak Southern. And they spread the message. They spread the message abroad. And think about the enthusiasm they had when they said it, when they shared it. Merry Christmas. Is that what they did? No. Well, they were so excited. I want you to understand, they had seen angels. They had heard the heavenly host. They had seen Jesus himself, Christ the Savior. There was a extreme enthusiasm. They were highly blessed. Hey, Christian, let me tell you something. God himself reached out to you because he wanted you as part of his family. He sent his son Jesus, who willingly died on the cross for you because he wanted you included in his family. And then when you got saved, he sent the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to live inside of you because he wanted you to be in touch and constant communication and understanding of his word and of his will and of his plan for your life. He chose you. So if anybody has something to be enthusiastic about, it's us. We ought to be so enthusiastic. They ought to be able to see Merry Christmas in us without us wearing it or saying it. They ought to be able to see it in who we are because we're full of faith, because this is the most wonderful time of the year. The day when our Savior, you say, well, it wasn't in... Again, doesn't matter. I don't know what day he was born on. Was it December 25th? Most likely not. Was it in the spring? Possibly. But are we going to celebrate it now? Yes, we are. We're going to celebrate it now. If you got a different day, we'll celebrate it then too. I don't care. I'll celebrate it every day if you want to. We don't need all the criticism and all the... You don't need to be smarter than everybody else. So we can leave all that stuff behind. These shepherds praised God. They spread the message all around what was told them concerning this child. And verse 18 says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them. And Mary, verse 19, pondered them in her heart. So the wondering and the pondering. Guys, we have got to take a break from all the noise in the world and wonder and ponder. Please wonder and ponder this week. Please wonder and ponder as we read this, as you read this later, as you think about it later today. Wonder and ponder. Spend some time on it. And let it get a grip. Let it arrest your heart and your conscience and your soul. Christ the Savior is born. He came to live on earth because he had a purpose. And that purpose was you. And that purpose was me. That's all it was about. He came to redeem us to God. That's what it's about. So yeah, you might have a Christmas tree, but it's not about the Christmas tree. And you'll buy gifts, but it's not about gifts. It's about the gift. It's about Jesus. Their hearts were stirred by the message. They had such enthusiasm. Verse 20 says, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I have a mind that this morning, or this afternoon, when you leave church, you're going to go out like those shepherds. With such enthusiasm about the things you've heard and seen and experienced. Let me tell you something. If we don't, what was the point? If we don't increase our enthusiasm, which comes by wondering and pondering, about Jesus and what He's done for us, what's the point? I love church. But if it doesn't make a difference, why waste our time? Why spend the effort if it's not going to encourage us and challenge us and sometimes provoke us and warn us? If it's not going to stir us, what's the point? I'll go a step farther than that. I'll step out on a limb here. If you've come here with your heart right with God and seeking God to stir you up and the preacher can't get the job done, let's get a new preacher. I mean, that's not, but I mean, that's what it takes. You hear what I'm saying? Guys, this is not an exercise in futility. We're not here just because it's Sunday and it's church time. We're here to get excited about serving God. We're here to get excited so that we can go out. It's not just so we'll feel better. It's not just so we'll be excited. Our purpose as a church is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. And if we're not doing that, we're just spinning our tires. Guys, please, let's get active. This time of year, people are willing to listen to the message about Jesus. This time of year, you can, let's say it this way, you can get away with it. People won't be as critical. They won't be as grouchy. Even in 2020, it's possible. So let's go out there and show some enthusiasm and show some joy. Because it's your Savior that this is all about. It's our Savior. This is our time. If we're not going to shine the light this month, then we probably need a new wick. Or as my old preacher would say, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Let's stand. God, we need you. We celebrate this, and it's so important. We understand that this is that time of year when people are willing to listen. They're willing to come into a church when they don't go any other time of the year. God, it's my prayer that when they are talking to us, when we're talking about the celebration of Christmas, that we'll make it about Jesus. That we'll not engage in petty bickering and debate over symbols of Christmas. But that it'll be about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, draw us to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Build our enthusiasm. Help us to make a difference. God, this is a great time for us to reach children. To not only tell them about the Christmas story, but to bring them to a point of salvation. To show them the way of the gospel. So God, give us that wisdom, that direction. Teach us. Use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, if you don't know that you'll go to heaven when that time comes, would you right now, from your heart to God's heart, say, God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. You see, the truth is, until you give your life to God, you don't know what's possible. When you give your life to God, with God all things are possible. Let's see what God can do with our lives. Let's surrender. Let's submit. These shepherds got so excited. It was a plan that had been launched before the foundation of the earth. And this place was so special. And that night, we know why. Because unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Anything before we're dismissed? All right. Glad you're here. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Don't forget Saturday at 10 o'clock in the fellowship hall for the children's Christmas time. Do we need anything else with that? All set? Okay, everybody got your dishes from last night?
Yeah.
All right, good deal. We won't need to eat again until Tuesday, will we? Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy Keel, dismiss us, please.